The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower and Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here with a guest who hasn't been with us for a while, David Powell of Federal Business Council. David, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down. Let's start with the usual. FBC. What is FBC?
Well, Mark, as you know, FBC stands for Federal Business Council. And we are an event firm by what we do, but what we actually provide is a way for industry to connect with the federal government customer and a way for the government agencies to do outreach to industry. So it's a two-way street. We help the connection right in the middle. We put companies in touch with government and government in touch with the companies that provide the products and services that they need to accomplish the mission that they provide.
Okay. Now, my company started in 1985, and one of the first things I noticed in the market back then was this little company out in the middle of Howard County somewhere, Small Business Product Review Council. I still have one of their promos somewhere. I should give that to you guys.
That was a long name.
That was the...
Didn't really tell you much about what the company did.
But, family-run business, changed the name, 80s, I guess.
But early 90s,
I think. And 40 years, though. 1976, 40 years.
It sounds like a long time when you say it, but time flies.
The market's been here forever. So you're an event-producing firm, but you partner with both industry and government to do targeted events, tabletops, IT-specific events. You do a lot with the DOD community, the military community. So give us a flavor of what you do.
So we'll work with the specific mission area within the government. So an agency has a program that they are either launching or working on or bringing up to date. And we'll work with the group that is delivering that program. And they need to bring people together or groups together to talk about what has to happen to make that happen or to develop the program. And since government doesn't make or manufacture anything itself, it needs its industry partners to come together and help them pull together the concepts or the programs that are needed to make the mission happen. So we help then do outreach to the industry community that supports the mission, and we bring the groups together with the agency that is rolling out the program, and in the form of an event, a conference, a seminar, a symposium, and bring two groups together. They talk about what's needed and hopefully develop what's needed, create plans, really just get to know each other, and that is the basis of the format. From there, things hopefully happen.
Well, you know, I use a lot of market connections research in for things that I write, what I talk, use them in all my presentations. The number one issue facing contractors forever has been identifying and reaching decision makers. So that's number one. The top marketing elements, the top two are your company website and then large industry-wide trade shows and conferences. Well, that's a little misleading because there's not too many large industry trade shows for our market anymore. But one of the misconceptions of our market was after the GSA public building fiasco several years back that the events went away. They never went away. Big events sponsored by government agencies dried up quickly, but...
Right. From a large event point of view, yeah, there you started to see those dissipate. From a tactical or mission-oriented point of view, those are still a necessary part of what's going on. And really at the core of what we do is a communications mission and a need to connect on specific ideas, specific concepts. And in the research that you're referring to, that is how people connect. They connect face-to-face at the core. We're human beings, and we need to connect to develop trust, to develop relationships and understand what each other's bringing to the table, get an idea of what the needs are, and then get an idea of is this other person able to understand what I need and then deliver a solution that can help achieve what needs to be achieved. So that all happens at a face-to-face trust interaction level, and that's what events bring to the table. And that's really what that's the value that we bring to the table.
Yeah, literally to the table. Starting with tabletops, which are usually about half-day affairs in agency or adjacent to agency, depending, or on base or adjacent to base, depending on where it is. But on up, I mean, you've done, for instance, you invited me on the first Eagle Award. DHS Eagle, you brought me down to Baltimore for the opening conference for that, and that was you know conference specific or a contract specific conference, but I swear, man, just about every contractor was there, and OEMs that were selling through the contracts, and hundreds of govies.
Well, you're going back in time now.
Well, I'm going back in time, but it's illustrative of what you do and the value of specific types of events.
Well, events are the ultimate form of engagement. It puts people together in a face-to-face environment so that they can develop the human bonds that need to be developed in order to develop trust. If you think about it, you know, we're in a very digital environment these days. People can trade information or trade messaging and really convey information very easily and very quickly. But trust is a missing element in that type of communication. Without getting face-to-face, you really don't understand who's on the other end of the communication. So
it could be a hacker from China.
Well, you never know. So getting face-to-face, trust can be developed. I mean, the human face has 28 muscles that can create over 600 different expressions, and these are how people understand meaning and develop interactions with another person. You don't get this on a phone call or an email, so people need to get together face to face. And by getting together in the environment of an event that's driven by a context, that's how relationships get built around a business concept. So back to the event that you were talking about. That was a very successful rollout in terms of a contract vehicle, and I think it had a lot to do with successful relationships being developed early in the business program for that contract.
Yeah, similarly, GSA Expo was a show that occurred every year, produced and sponsored by GSA for GSA schedule holders. After the PBS thing, it went away for 3 years, and it came back, I believe, this year in a somewhat more modest fashion, but it is back.
Right, and at its core, that's a successful program. It's been a successful program over time. It brings people together that have a common interest and a common need to share information about GSA contracting and the needs of the contract holders, the opportunities that are out there, and the agency requirements that everyone has to keep up to date on. So there is a need for that the groups involved in that to get together. There were some missteps on the implementation of that particular program, so that caused some big problems that needed to be managed. But the underlying need for that constituency to get together in the context of that event didn't go away. So there was an unmet need for quite some time for that community, and the community, I think, paid the price for that event not happening.
Right. And you know, anytime Congress intervenes, if there's a wart somewhere, untoward things will occur for oftentimes no real reason. You're listening to Federal AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. I have David Powell with me today of the Federal Business Council. You'll need this URL later in the show, but you may need it before you even stop listening. FBCINC.com is how you find the Federal Business Council. FBCINC.com. David, I actually spoke at one of your cyber events a few years back. I moderated a panel.
You did.
Anybody who knows me knows that I'm the least technical person in the universe. But you guys have been doing a lot in the cyber arena for the last probably 5 years or so.
We have actually since before cyber was called cyber. We were working in information security, information assurance, way back, you know, as early as the late 90s, maybe even before that. But we've been picking up the pace now that cyber is a funded area of government. A lot of agencies are considering it key area.
An area of warfare.
Well, it is. And
hopefully it's funded.
It is. Well, for the longest time, it was an area that needed to be paid attention to, but it was
ignored.
Sort of back office area. And there were people that did pay attention to it, but now there are many, many businesses that are geared towards cybersecurity. There are contracts for cybersecurity, so there are specific programs that are built around cyber. So therefore, there are conferences. There are there's a lot of interest in cyber. Anyway, there is a number of conferences that we're involved in, and a number of initiatives that we're involved in, and the conferences that we do support those programs. So the one that you spoke at or moderated panels at, and I think there are probably more than one. And by the way, anyone that knows Mark AmTower knows that Mark has a unique way of pulling information out of people that it gives him a unique style as a moderator that I think people tend to enjoy in the audience.
Sometimes when I speak, yes, on the radio, maybe, maybe not.
Well, one of the programs that I think you're referring to, Mark, is the Cyber Maryland program that launched in 2011. And Cyber Maryland is held every year in Baltimore. And it's a gathering of the cyber community from, it's not only a Maryland initiative, but it's a regional initiative. And it brings together people from across Maryland, Virginia, and basically the entire region. Washington, D.C. And it's not just a business event. It's an education event. It brings together government, academia, the business community, and it covers that entire range of workforce development. There's a cyber competition. The National Cybersecurity Hall of Fame is hosted there. There is an extremely robust exhibitor and vendor showcase with cybersecurity technology. There's a cyber shark tank where we have venture capitalists sitting in the front row, and then companies come in and actually pitch their cybersecurity ideas.
Yeah, Robert Herjavec there?
No, but
he's a cyber guy.
Right, but there are the equivalent of the Robert Herjavec's in the Cyber Shark Tank judging panel. And if it's the right idea, they actually are picked up for funding by the venture capitalists there. And then we have a full, robust group of speakers, keynoters. So it's a great program, but it's a year-round concept. And Cyber Maryland is actually a unification concept to bring the entire ecosystem of the region together around cyber, highlighting the assets that make Cyber Maryland, Cyber Maryland. And the unique thing about that is other states and other areas have actually recognized the model And we put the concept out there really as an open source concept for building a cyber community around a region. And other communities have grabbed onto that. So there's a Cyber Texas. There are groups called Cyber Colorado, Cyber California. There's a group in Colorado. There's a group in Minnesota and other locations that are actually building and somewhat duplicating the model. So we're bringing those together under a national network of cyber states.
But you also have, Federal Business Council is located in Annapolis Junction, Maryland. The halfway point between Baltimore and Washington, but literally walking distance to NSA and DISA, not far away, taking 200 rather than the Beltway, you have NIST. And you, as I recall, you do some things over there with those folks.
That's true. That's true. So, right. Those are the things that help make Cyber Maryland, Cyber Maryland, the epicenter of cyber. But we do work with NIST. We help with the National Initiative for Cyber Education, which also has a national conference every year, which moves around the country. This year, it'll be in Kansas City in November, November 1st and 2nd. But that is a national education initiative, and it brings together educators from across the country. All of the Centers for Academic Excellence, the provosts from all of those schools, the FISEA, the Federal Information Security Educators Association. We have that every year over at the University of Maryland University College.
Yeah, and FISEA has been around. That's the interagency committee responsible for more the insider threat type education. And they've been doing this for, you've been doing the show with them for 20 plus years.
Right, about 25 years.
But the organization itself, I think, Jim Burrows and Lynn McNulty may have helped kick that off in the mid-80s.
That's true. So they've been around and doing their work for quite some time. So it's not a new thing, basically. I think that's the point. And there are plenty of cyber events. As anyone that opens a newspaper or listens to the radio or gets an email these days knows, there are cyber events left and right.
And we're not talking about conferences.
Both.
We're talking about the rude kind of events.
Cyber events of all kinds, let's just say. Cyber events you can attend, though, there are a lot of those, too. The ones that we put together are usually the ones that are driven by a specific concept, agency, or a program that we're supporting. But that's actually a really funny way that you put that. Cyber Maryland is coming up again this year in October. And anyone that's in this region, there's probably something that's happening at Cyber Maryland that would be of interest to you. If you have or know a student, there's a student-related activity with Cyber Maryland. If you know a business person, there's a business-related activity, or someone that there's a job fair, there's a job a resume program, a military transition to cyber career program. There's something there for anyone in this area.
Literally anyone in the area. And, one of the things that I really like about the contracting side of cyber is the ability of small companies to literally level the playing field. You have, like Larry Leetow's organization, Convergence, Mike Greeney at Force 3, who's taken his company very much into the network security arena. You've got, and I'm talking, Central Maryland companies here. So Racktop, they're in Fulton. There's a ton of them, but they're often Terry Dunlap's Tactical Network Solutions. Terry was on the show a couple of years ago. Very small company, but doing very targeted work inside various portions of the IC. It's just a tremendous, we see graduates of NSA and DISA and other IC community members. We see people coming out and becoming those small contractors because they understand the niche, they have the relationships, and they understand the technological need and direction.
Well, and it goes beyond the technology. There's a let's just say a fertile ground for growing a company in this area, and I've always referred to this as the Napa Valley of cyber. We have the soil, the sunshine, the rainfall, the perfect mix of all of those things to, you know, when a seed is planted, for it to grow, and our output, instead of being wine, it's cyber technology or cyber professionals, or, you know, just all things cyber seem to grow and mature and come out of here perfectly aged and very well put together.
I'm glad you used the Napa Valley and not Silicon Valley, because what we have here also in our soil is that government contracting DNA that they don't have in Silicon Valley, and oftentimes they shy away from it.
Right, but we also have the strength of the schools in our area, UMBC, UMUC, Johns Hopkins, just go down the list. We have a very strong education base that are just cranking out a very high number of extremely qualified cybersecurity professionals, and we're doing it at a higher rate and a higher quality than any other schools, any other region in the country.
Yeah, and we have an incubator system to go with that. We have the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship in Howard. Anne Arundel has one. We have the Chesapeake Innovation Center. And these are cranking out helping some pretty cool companies move. Up.
Right. Hence the Cyber Maryland moniker. So I see you've done your homework. I'm very proud.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm an advisor at the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship. So it's there. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with David right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with David Powell of the Federal Business Council. David, oftentimes for 35 years, I've run across people who have marketing myopia. Oh, we'll do this event once a year, and we don't need anything else. Or we'll do this type of event. Or we'll do space advertising. We won't do anything else. Or we'll do this. But it's kind of a one-off situation. Let's go back to the market connections study. There's a series of slides in the study from a couple of years ago. And by the way, they're doing another one coming up in June, the government contractor study. So go to marketconnectionsinc.com and look for that. But there's about 15 different major marketing elements. The top are company website, large industry trade shows, conferences, thought leadership materials, small targeted events. So that's, you know, two and four are events. Number five, public relations, then social networking site, print advertising, email campaign, online advertising, webinars, and on and on. So events are extremely important, but As just about everybody who listens to this show know, and you know very well, I'm hyperactive on LinkedIn. I have just a few connections, about 7,500, almost exclusively in the government contracting community. And I'm posting there regularly, commenting there regularly. Everywhere I speak, you know, I've been doing radio for almost 10 years now. I have several books out. I write for Washington Technology. More people know me from LinkedIn than anywhere else. And everywhere I speak, they come up and think we've met before. I like that. But it's one of those reinforcement techniques. I'm not going to dissuade them that they, you know, we probably haven't met. But if they want to think that, that's great. But it ties things in. But I still need to get out there and see these people.
Sure you do. I mean, that's, and these days reaching people isn't the problem. You can reach people. It's not the challenge. The challenge is connecting with people at a human level and developing trust, which is the foundation of a relationship. I mean, and part of why people buy is people. Who do people buy from? I mean, this is, you know, going back to basics. People buy from people they know, people they like, and people they trust. So that third factor, developing trust, comes from connecting at a human level. And event marketing is really the ultimate engagement level for developing trust. Because first, events, when someone comes up to you and says hello and they want to meet, and okay, they're meeting you, they've seen you on LinkedIn or they've connected, they finally have a chance to meet Mark Amtower. By the time they come in and reach you, they're connecting with you. Personally, they're developing a dialogue. It's bidirectional. There's a handshake. There's contact. That's a human to human contact. It's face to face. It's there's nonverbal communication trading. There's trust being established. There's an affinity there. You're both at the same event with a common interest. You're sharing a common interest. You're establishing a human connection there, and there's context. Within that, there's relevance. So there's a lot of different psychological things happening there that's creating a subconscious trust that will create a level of connection there that you're not going to be able to get by purely an online or a digital connection. That will lead to a more solidified relationship than not having that will. And in a sales situation, that is going to help you beyond not having that.
Right. But, you know, the the thing here is, you know, whether it's social media or publications or events, if you're selling from a specific contractual vehicle preferred by a small number of contractors, and you have X number of competitors, you still need to differentiate yourself.
So let's get into that. Events position you in that category. So there's still noise. There's still a level that you need to step out of in order to be noticed. So you have to position yourself in that category. So you have to rise above that group. You have to establish interest above and beyond just the collective of what you're what you belong to. So positioning in the category, establishing interest, and then understanding who you're selling to. So there's not just here I am. It's who am I selling to, and then who do I need to connect with, and what are their issues? So there's a communications issue there, and being able to ask questions and understand the needs of the buyer at a face-to-face level, instead of waiting for the RFP to come out where they're telling you this is what I'm looking for, really understanding what the buyer is looking for by asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing too is really understanding at the chemistry level, what is this individual looking for? Are we compatible? Does this person want to do business with me? Is this somebody that I want to do business with also? So there's people go back to the equation. People do business with people they know, they like, and they trust. The second thing, they have to like the person that they want to do business with.
Maybe you telling me if it's a rude SOB, they may not want to do business?
Well, do you do business with people that you don't like?
No.
Right. So
there you go.
You know, when people do business with people they don't like, it usually doesn't work out well. So, you know, there's a human factor in all of this.
Right. And from my perspective, and this is going to lead into the next part of our discussion, all of these things are interrelated. So prior to meeting people, if you have two major vettable sites online where people are going to go to check you out. The company website to make sure you sell either products or services that they want and need. And hopefully there's enough information there, not just about the products and services, but about your past successes. So some case studies, white papers, blog, some information to support the validity that you're good at what you do. The other place people are going to go to vet you is LinkedIn. And it is it's incredible how many people on social media take it for granted and don't fill in enough information to make themselves or their companies look even passingly good.
Right. Well, that's the combination of, you know, high touch and high tech together, and using both effectively in tandem, I think, is the ideal. Really understanding how both of those work together creates the ideal environment. So online, offline, working together. I think you probably help a lot of people in that area on the LinkedIn side just as much as you help people through your radio shows. But I agree. I think you need to have both. You need to be firing on all cylinders.
Right.
Events and face-to-face marketing is really one piece of the whole puzzle.
It's the physical engagement aspect of it. But that, you know, this particular conversation occurred a couple of months ago, and between the two of us, we decided to resurrect something that Federal Business Council did in the early 2000s and relaunch, and that would be...
Well, you're obviously talking about our Federal Channels program. And if you think way back into the year 2000, go back in a time machine, there really weren't any training events on how to sell to government. And so we got a group of people together and said, let's put together an agenda and go around the country and start talking to people about helping them get better at selling to the government and present some key ideas on how they can improve in that area. And we did that. We called it Federal Channels. And I think we went to about six cities throughout a year's time and then repeated that the following year. And then after that, a number of companies saw that as a model. And, you know, we stepped back and let them step forward. And
well, it was kind of hard to sustain the momentum, at least for us speakers for Federal Channels. But
it was a fun couple of years with that one.
But it it was, and you know, it's always a blast going to San Diego or Denver or Chicago, and you know, speaking to 200-400 people. On July 21, we're going to do it again.
We are. We've pulled together a panel of experts for a one-day Federal Channels Government Marketing Best Practices 2020 event, and it is a very prestigious panel.
We have a number of panels. Well, let's talk about that after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We will tell you all about Federal Channels Government Marketing Best Practices 2020 right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with David Powell. We were just beginning to tell you about Federal Channels Government Marketing Best Practices 2020 on July 21 at the Bolger Center in Potomac, Maryland. If you're not familiar with the Bolger Center, it was for several years, a couple of decades actually, the USPS Training Center. And it's a wonderful campus, hotel, and lots of meeting facilities. So, yeah, again, David and I were talking about this, and we're talking about top marketing elements. What we tried to do here is put together a half a dozen panels with people that we and our board of advisors consider really some frontline, top notch folks.
Mark, I'm really happy with the agenda that we put together for the Federal Channels event and the topics too. And what we've really attempted to do is summarize the key topics that would be on anyone's mind. And if they could answer these questions, it would improve their effectiveness immediately. And if they could answer a couple of key questions, it would improve how they're doing. So starting off the day, We thought, hey, let's take a look at what's actually working. What are the things that are working in terms of the marketing mix
Well, again, you know, I'm going to do the lead off talk after you do the intro. I'm going to just highlight some of the research that I've seen recently from Market Connections, from Hinge, from Gartner, and from Forrester on the challenges facing B2G contractors, including, you know, reaching the decision makers. How do you measure your ROI? You know, there's a lot of research out there that a lot of people just don't have access to. So I'm going to highlight that, and then each of the panels will dive into the substance of five other areas. So
we'll lead right after that into differentiate or die, which sounds harsh, but we're talking theoretical terms, yeah, in terms of our being able to stand out from the rest of the crowd.
Right, and we've invited somebody. I'm waiting to hear back from them as a speaker who is quite good at that. They're so good that I borrow their information for my differentiation sessions.
So the market is very, very noisy. As everyone knows, it is a crowded marketplace, and the ability to stand out and differentiate so that you rise above the noise is a key skill. We're going to make sure that you leave with the ability to do that. Then we're rolling right after lunch, or right before lunch, or after a break, into the new rules of B2G social media marketing. And that is a panel that will be Carl Dixon, and he's the he's with CapturePlanning.com. He's actually the founder of CapturePlanning.com, an incredible speaker. If you haven't
and a social media guru,
if you haven't had the chance to see Carl Dixon or learn from him, you will not be disappointed. And then our own Mark Amtower, who will be joining Carl on stage. The two of them will be speaking, moderated by a special guest. And we're going to talk about social media as a tool for federal marketers and how social media is being used today, how it can be used more effectively, and how it shouldn't be used. And I think there are some rules that have to be followed, some rules that aren't being followed, and how it's evolved.
Yeah, something real simple there, and I may have mentioned it on the show before. I'm connected to a number of CIOs at federal agencies on LinkedIn, and when I connect, I try to get, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of their time via phone or swap some emails. But to a person, they will not accept a LinkedIn invitation that is the LinkedIn form letter. I'd like you in my professional network. No, you have to put a context there. You have to personalize it. So again, we're getting back to that relationship side of things.
So after, then we're going to have a nice lunch. It's provided for everyone. We're going to go right into an engaging your customer panel.
Moderated by Luann Brossman and a couple of people to be announced, and David Powell.
That's right. So I'll be joining that panel. We're going to be talking about a lot of different ways to engage the customer in a face-to-face environment. And the idea is to, once you get face-to-face, how do you capture more meaningful and usable information, dialogue? How do you leverage that face-to-face interaction to help move the sales cycle forward? Then after that, going to marketing your Mac.
Multiple award contracts are huge, and sales from them are growing. And I've spoken at SOUP events. I've spoken at NITAC events. NITAC runs CIOCS, SP3, and SP3 Small. And the issue for all of those companies is how can we drive more task order business? So we brought in Lisa Pafe of Lofeld Consulting, because she's addressed this issue before. And she actually started as the proposal manager for a very small 8A firm and helped them grow, not simply by winning the business, but by maximizing the dollar value. So she's going to do a solo run on that, and that should be very cool.
And then we'll have another break, and then we'll move into the final session of the day, which is something that people have been asking about. And this is the power of content marketing. And this is really one of the most misunderstood, but maybe the most powerful, quote, new marketing method that's out there. Anything that educates buyers, that would be webinars, blogs, writing for trade publications, speaking at conferences, basically you're becoming the content provider. It creates an extremely effective marketing opportunity. So you're leveraging content at various points of the buying cycle. Some people do it very well. We're going to teach you how to do it well, how your content is consumed by the people that are consuming it, when to use it, where in the sales cycle it works, where it doesn't work. And we'll make sure that you leave with a roadmap and a plan for doing it properly. Yeah.
Content has been with us a while, but Market Connections study last year, their federal content marketing review that they did with Merit Group, they had one slide in there that illustrated the seven steps in awarding a procurement. And then they listed eight different content marketing methods that influenced each step of that process, and weighted those tactics accordingly. So we have webinars, case studies, e-newsletters, e-books, marketing collateral, infographics, podcasts, blogs. The obvious omission there is events, because events is definitely going to influence each of those steps. So it's an extraordinarily important thing for contractors to grasp. Content marketing and social media marketing aren't nice to have. They're a must have.
So we'll be covering all that content in a one-day format. You'll leave better equipped and better informed than when you walked in the door in the morning. We promise you that. And so go to federaldirect.net. Click on the event button and on the blog, and you'll be directed right to the event page. You can find out all the information, register there, and we hope to see you there that day.
And if you attend, you'll get the Government Marketing Best Practices 2020, the latest book from yours truly. So
it'll be a very, very good day. We're going to do something special that day.
Yeah, and it's grossly inexpensive. I yelled at David for weeks about, you can't charge that little. So get there.
We
look forward
there.
To seeing you. David, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I can't believe it's been so long that since I've been on, Mark, but thanks for having me.
You bet. Again, this is not my day job. I strongly suggest you register for Federal Channel's Government Marketing Best Practices 2020 on July 21. Check it out at federaldirect.net. Click on the yellow star on the homepage. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.